pleasant evening to everyone from the Turks and Caicos Islands. So I'll get right into it as to spare time. The Turks and Caicos Islands is somewhat in the early stages of planning towards meeting the needs of students with special education as it relates to the government schools. In previous years, we had a special education policy that was outdated and not being implemented. However, I am pleased to share today that the special education policy in the Turks and Caicos Islands was revised in 2016 and launched in 2018 with the No Child Left Behind policy initiative under the leadership of the then special education officer, Mr. Jasmine Walken. It was written and enforced, assuring that all government schools were inclusive. Before I move on, I would also like to recognize the attendance of one of our education officers here in the Turks and Caicos Islands, Dr. Kieran Toussaint. The updated policy gave room to the establishment of an SBA team. This is a school-based assessment team, which is a team of school personnel that formally operate as a problem-solving unit. It was created to assist classroom teachers with the development and implementation of instructional and management strategies and coordinate support and resources for students with special needs within the school. The policy also gave room to the establishment of the Special Education Assessment and Intervention Team. The team comprises of a clinical psychologist, an educational psychologist, special education officer, and special education teachers who are assigned at resource room, as previously mentioned, in all of the government primary schools. The teachers are in all of the government primary schools, but just to know that we just have one clinical psychologist, one educational psychologist. Currently, we do not have a special education officer. Though we are without a special education officer, we are currently continuing with these strides. And we also, in addition to our special education student population, we have ESL learners added to that population that make up a large number of those that are catered to within our government primary schools. Academic assessment is now being carried out on a wider scale in the areas of mathematics and reading through an online program used in the primary government schools called iReady. The program not only virtually assesses the performance of students in reading and math, but offers learning paths that cater to their individual needs following their assessment. Teachers have access to the program and are able to assign tasks to their students that follow the same focus in reading and math, but are coherent with the level of performance of each student. I find the program very helpful as it helps in outlining the academic needs of each student without them having to visit the resource room individually for face-to-face assessment. All government primary schools are now in the process of evaluating the results and using them to flag students and to group them for further instruction. The Turks and Caicos Islands is also in the process of introducing an early intervention strategy to be used in the clinics and in the schools to track and to document developmental and behavioral deficits of children from birth to 6 years old. We have successfully completed a pilot run of this and are now preparing to train selected teachers and nurses to carry out these assessments in conjunction with the already established routine visits for children at clinics and the routine assessments of students upon entry to nursery and kindergarten and transitioning onward. We have moved a step forward in using the resources that we have available to collect the required data, but we are now challenged with meeting the needs of secondary and tertiary level students, as well as having the needed paraprofessionals that are required to meet the needs of the primary level students that have been flagged and labeled at risk. However, We are thankful for the growth we have experienced thus far, and we trust that God will continue to open doors for us, for our special needs students. Also, in the Turks and Caicos Islands on the island of Providence, Yalis, under the Ministry of Health, we are the home to the SNAP Center, which is a Special Needs Association of Providence, Yalis. The mission of the SNAP Center is to ensure that every person with special needs grow and develop to their full potential. Their vision is to improve the quality of life and independence of students living with special education through the access to care and wellness centers, assessment opportunities, and therapeutic services. The SNAP Center provides intellectual and life skill opportunities for children and young persons with disabilities ages 4 to 20. I would like to recognize also the presence of Ms. Noreen McCoy. She was a past program officer of the SNAP Center and was very instrumental in it. In closing, I believe that the Caribbean Association for Special Education and hosting forums such as this that advocates for consistent and effective policies for special education will open the eyes of country leaders, reminding them that special education students have a purpose in the land and have a right to be nurtured and reared, having their social, academic, physical, and health needs catered to, just as other students. Thank you very much.
Good evening to everyone. I am extremely excited to be here. And thank you so much for the kind introductions. I'm particularly excited because we have so many individuals from around the region here. And I'm also seeing some of our lecturers here from the MICO. Three of us on the panel, we attended MICO College in Jamaica. So special recognition to Dr. Giles, Mr. Dr. Mingalizin as well as Dr. Robinson. Thank you so much for popping in. I am Allison Murray, and my role and responsibility at the school that I'm presently placed is to provide, I call it, fair access to quality education. I am someone who's very passionate about special education as well as literacy. We would have done quite a bit of studies in both areas, and so it really is a great overlap, a great synergy to have that type of background to be able to help our students. I am serving in what we call a non-categorical resource room program. I use the word non-categorical because there are many students who sit in our classes who've not been diagnosed in any way. We know as teachers that they have challenges with reading, with writing, with spelling, and we're not necessarily sure why. And so the aim really is to provide for them an opportunity to develop and to grow as best they can within the general education setting. So what generally happens for my students is when their classmates are scheduled to attend English class, they are pulled from that session and they sit with me in the resource room. And using results from educational assessments, I would have obviously created instructional plans and be able to provide them with something that can target both strengths and weaknesses. And it was really exciting to hear my other colleagues talking about the referral system. The referral system is so important. It is not a system, I'd say, that is fully understood in Barbados in the secondary school. And that's the only area of education I can really comment on. I've never taught in the primary. I've only ever been in the secondary school. But having referrals, having an opportunity to track student performance from the time they enter school, as they maneuver through, and even as they prepare for the CSET or the other examinations, is really, really important. Because once you have that information, they're allowed to have access to many of the accommodations that perhaps you know about, the reader, the writer, the extra time, breaks if they need them, in large print if they need them, but just whatever needs to be put in place for them to have that fair access to examination content. So that's what I do. I love my job. I love working with our students. In terms of policy and law, of course, Barbados has the Education Act, which speaks to the provision of services for students who may have disabilities. But we were promised in 2019 to have a special education policy rolled out or put in place for us that will help guide how we treat to the students that we are meeting up with. And I think it's really, really important. And this is why. If I move to a school and then on to another school and then on to another school, and there's no policy really in place. There's no way for anybody to know what it is that I'm doing or what I'm supposed to be doing. And it often comes over as if it is my thing that I'm doing, and it really isn't. My thing is heavily guided by what I would have been taught in my training experience in Jamaica. It was a wonderful experience to go through teacher training in practicing schools, being assigned to different facilities so that you can develop the competencies that will be needed. And so, you know, coming back to Barbados, I was, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and excited and ready to get rolling. But because there really is no policy for the administration of special education at the secondary level, there are quite a few roadblocks that are faced. Of course, you need to have time to do assessments. You need to have referral forms filled out, and you need to have colleagues understanding exactly what special education is and what they need to put in place to accommodate the students that we are teaching. So the job becomes a bit challenging because of this lack of this written special education policy. You know for certain what a school stands for when it comes to substitution or when it comes to sports day. You see your notices and you understand what's expected of you. But as it relates to special education, it's painful at times not being able to provide for students what you know they can be given, because there really is nothing written for anybody to say, well, hey, can you do this? Or, hey, you haven't done that. And so this definitely is an area that I want us to talk a little bit more about later as we are terming this session Honest Conversations. And I'm willing to get really honest about this. There are really some great initiatives, though, that are in some of our schools. I would have heard some of my colleagues mentioning the accommodation. So I do know that many of our secondary schools, we have the readers who go in for our students who do CSE or City and Guilds, and they are able to do exceptionally well. I think on this call, I have one of my students, Caitlin Ward. She's just successfully completed a bachelor's at the UB with first class honors, and Caitlin would have been one of the students who came into Spring Memorial with a referral from a parent. Her parent came in, her parent said, Michelle has dyslexia. I heard that your school has a program in place and you need to have her enrolled. And with that parental involvement and Caitlin's wonderful spirit and the interventions that we would have been using, Caitlin is an absolute success. She is a story that should be plastered on the front page of our newspapers so people can see what is possible when a really well-structured program for our students is put into place. I'll end there, but just to say grateful again for the opportunity.
Thank you very much for listening to Visions with me, Eudalie Wickham-Ashby, today. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or via Starcom Network at 1-246-430-7300. By email, visionsbarbados@gmail.com, visionsbarbados, @gmail.com. And you can check this and past episodes by going to the VOB929.com website. Look for the Visions podcast link and you can listen to this and past episodes. So until next week, love yourself, love your neighbor, and be safe.